Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, Episode 5 for September 8th, 2006, Dynomatic. Ladies and gentlemen, this is MacBreak Weekly, Episode 5. Recorded on September 8th, 2006. It should appear sometime in early 2007, much like Windows Vista. Joining us right now, anybody want hot dogs? Merlin Mann of 43folders.com. Hello, Merlin.
How's it going, Leo?
I'm not going to tell people what your Skype handle is, but I do enjoy it.
Well, if anybody can figure it out, I'll be waiting.
It's an offer for all the ladies. Let's put it that way. To all the ladies. He is the ladies' man. Merlin Mann. Scott Bourne is here from iLife Zone. Hi, Scott. Thanks for filling in for the last 8 weeks.
Well, thank you for letting me, Leo. It's quite an honor to stand in your very large shoes.
They're not that big.
Size 43.
I do have a red nose and a wig, but the shoes are pretty normal. And from the Pixel Corps, just back from Zimbabwe, Alex himself, Mr. Lindsay. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Or better yet, Mineru. See, I just got back from Zimbabwe. So Mineru.
Mineru.
Muskwetase.
Hot dog.
Yes.
We have, of course, the biggest story of the week, which is not even happening yet. And we do have to get this podcast out before it happens. Otherwise, all of our prognostications will sound pathetic. I'm talking about September 12th. It's showtime, according to Apple. By the way, that's the name of my new podcast book, and I'm really peeved that somebody somebody leaked it to them. That's not nice. Okay, predictions. Scott Bourne, what do you think?
I think I'm going to yawn on September 13th.
No, you're not. You're going to yawn?
I'm going to yawn because if what they're offering is $15 movie downloads from Disney and that's it, good night. I want to pay $15 when I could pay $18 and get the full-blown DVD.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to take 4 hours to download a movie and not get any extras and it's low quality. I agree with you on that.
I can buy the DVD, use Handbrake, rip it to my iPod, game over.
Do you think there'll be a new iPod announcement on Tuesday?
I think they're going to announce the new iPhone.
Phone? Are you
nuts?
I'm just kidding. Are you nuts?
I don't have any idea, Leo. I think it's mostly just going to be the movie store. I think they did the IMAX early.
It's time to do a new iPod, though, don't you think? They haven't had one.
I think we'll probably see something like the Metal Case Nano or something. Nothing big.
A Metal Case Nano. Merlin Mann, you agree?
I don't know. I think a lot of people talked about this being the big movie launch, and with the whole, you know, of course, people are decoding, you know, everything about the invitation and looking at the spotlights. And I think one interesting thing is, even if it's not one big splash, two little splashes would be, to see some updates to the way the movie stuff works, but also to see maybe there's been a lot of talk about a larger screened iPod video coming out, a couple things like that. And it looks like they're going to be racing to, you know, at least in name, catch up with Amazon on this stuff. So you got to wonder what they're going to try and get out there quickly.
Yeah, today Amazon announced it's going to do its own movie store and offer downloads as well. And the one missing element from the Amazon movie store is Disney, which, of course, you know, Steve Jobs' number one.
Well, there's one other tiny missing piece from the Amazon.
No Max.
Okay, there would be another part. So that pretty much leaves a big wide hole for Apple to march through, huh?
Well, at least to start with. You know, it's all dealing with, of course, the Windows Media DRM, which is what a lot of the guys are doing online stuff. Yeah.
Icky.
Yeah.
I have a Windows and of course, if you have an Intel machine, you can run Windows. It's not even that. It's just that crappy DRM.
Yeah. It's still the problem with the whole Windows side of things, with what Microsoft's approach to it is, they really are spending a lot of time catering to the studios instead of the consumer. And the problem with that, of course, is that you're not going to sell a lot if you keep on. The studios will get what they want, but sometimes they should get what they, you know, as the Rolling Stones.
But do you have a choice?
They need to get what they need.
Do you have a choice? Don't you have to get the studios to agree with you? I mean, you can't do this unilaterally.
You do, but you have to, you know, the point is that, it, you know, the studios gave Apple a lot of leeway with the music because they had no choice. You know, they had to get to a point where they were low enough on the rung that they just had to give Apple what it needed. And the only reason it was successful was because they capitulated to Apple and gave Apple what it needed to make it
successful.
So they
don't need to do that in the movie business. They've got Amazon. They've got a Cinema Now. Why do they need iTunes?
Well, none of them are working. That's the problem.
I mean, iTunes would work, except Scott says it won't.
It won't. If it's $15 a piece, it's not going to work.
$10 for Casablanca?
Yeah, I mean, right now, it sounds like what Apple's been obsessed with is really trying to have a singular price. So everything, you know, that's what they like.
Everybody's saying, though, $9.99 for old stuff and $14.99 for new stuff, but nobody knows.
Right. Well, we saw the survey that was put out that said way more people would be interested at $9.99 than would be at $15.99 or $20.99.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge jump, and I know that.
Do you think a new iPod, Alex?
You know, I think there's a chance. It sounds like the iPod isn't far enough. I don't know if you saw that patent that popped out.
That's an interesting patent, the interactive device. Of course, there was also at the same time a patent for the Cube. So, So kids, let's not get all excited here. You know, Apple patents a lot of things. Doesn't mean they're going to make it.
Right. So, but the
in fact, it's not the first patent for an interactive device like this that Apple's applied for.
Right. It's just that it's a very interesting one where it switches the entire functionality of the device based on, you know, you can hit it and it becomes a phone. It's using that entire LCD in the front, and so the keys are, you know, changed depending on what you're using it for. So if you hit it, you see the phone. If you hit it again, you see a game player.
Are they using that Mac Slap program that? What is the name of that thing where you hit the MacBook and it sends them?
Yeah, it's got the little gyro thing and yes, it detects stupid movement. It's a crazy way to move around.
It depends on how many times you shake it and it changes to a different.
I think you're all wrong.
What do you think it's going to be?
I think if Apple weren't going to make a major announcement, they wouldn't have slipstreamed the 24-inch iMac this week. Yeah. The fact that, I mean, that is in normal course of events, that's a big announcement. Core 2 across the iMac line, a 24-inch screen, which is, I don't know who wants that. That's a big announcement for them to put that out this week when they've got a keynote, they've got Herba Buena Center, you know, the big conference center in San Francisco booked for Tuesday, tells me this is some big announcement they really want a lot of attention for, and they don't want anything like a computer to distract them.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, I mean, because we went down to the one where they released the hi-fi.
Now, that was a yawn.
Yeah, it was a yawn. And the thing is that...
One was a yawn. The MacBook at the WWDC was kind of a yawn.
Yeah, so I think that if they're making such a big deal about it, I think that it has to be. We have to see. Now, it might be, you know, there is the rumor that we're going to see an not interactive, but a Wi-Fi connector so that you can wirelessly connect, you know, watch your iPod
like
on
the Zune.
Yeah, on the TV. So I think that is probably the most likely thing that we're going to see, I think.
Wait a minute.
Rumors.
Leo, I want to know, did you buy any Macintosh products recently?
I did today.
What did you buy?
A 30-inch display.
Okay, a 36-inch display is what's coming out then.
I always try to buy something right before Steve speaks so that I'll look like an idiot. I did buy the Cube on the very last day, and so I'm really glad that the patent for the Cube is now, you know, it's going to be a better Cube.
The 30-inch will be announced on the 12th at $9.99.
No, they just dropped the price. I thought I'm safe. I thought I'm safe now. I don't know. You know, the buying the 30-inch is a prelude to buying the Mac Pro. I really want the Mac Pro. Has anybody bought a Mac Pro yet? You must have, Alex.
Oh, we're looking at it. It's been one of those things that we're getting close. I tend to let things simmer a little bit with Apple before I buy the first version of anything. So I let the MacBook Pro,
I bought it right away. And I thank God because of mine. I was very lucky. Mine has not exploded, mood, or in any way misbehaved. But
mine either.
Apparently, you and I are the only ones, Scott, because what's the story with the exploding MacBook?
The batteries were for both the Dell and Apple were made by Sony.
Right. So, Sony's fault. Except it's not Sony's fault. Did you see that? Now, the latest is that it could be that there are little particles floating around inside the battery that are shorting it out, but it could also be if the computer is misdesigned driving the battery too hard, you can also cause these problems. So it's unclear.
And you have to now. The one thing you have to be careful of now is that when I was coming back from Africa on Virgin, They actually specifically said that we could not use an Apple or Dell computer on
this
the plane.
This pisses me off. Qantas has done this now, has banned Dells and Apples, Virgin
Korean Airlines.
And Korean Airlines. What the hell?
Yeah, it's of course I completely ignored it. No one bothered me.
And is it any safer in your luggage?
Yeah, it's,
wouldn't that be a better place for a laptop to blow up in the belly of the airplane?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Exactly. Well, and it becomes a big issue because now, I mean, I flew through Heathrow, which was quite an exciting experience.
So you couldn't, not only could you not bring any bottled goods or a Macintosh, you couldn't bring any carry-on at all.
Well, you could get one bag in now.
Oh, they're allowed now to bring a book on board?
Yeah, one bag. I actually had to buy a bag that would fit properly and then stuff as much electronic equipment into it as absolutely. I mean, the thing was just packed. I mean, it was like a solid brick of electronics.
But Merlin tells us that the Black MacBook explosion was in fact a hoax, Merlin?
Well, I came into this party kind of late, but you know how this stuff goes. It's like the Cold War, where when one thing comes out, then on one side,
Windows blew
have
up.
Problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
well, your Mac could totally blow up with viruses and whatnot.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a story on Gizmodo about a MacBook blowing up. That I mean, I haven't followed this all the way to the bottom, but it looks like there's a chance that it might have been kind of fabricated.
It's
a very dramatic picture to see this beautiful little black MacBook. You have the black MacBook,
don't
you?
Yeah. And it has not blown up yet, I'm proud
to say. Well, this one looks like it went through a microwave, so I hope that yours doesn't...
I am not in the least bit afeard, although I did immediately when Apple did the recall. I went through all of my laptops and found two that needed a recall. I've already sent back my PowerBook 15 back. I sent two iBook batteries back, too. So,
They flipped my MacBook Pro battery in like
instantly.
Four days.
Wasn't that great? Now they're claiming it'll be slower this time around. I don't know why that is. Maybe Sony's not as forthcoming.
Guys,
I like it. I think it's a great thing because it means now I get a full new battery, right? I think every year we should have a battery recall.
Well, now if you have your AppleCare, this is just for everyone listening. If you have AppleCare, remember that your batteries are covered by AppleCare. And so if they're not charging properly, which means if you're not getting a long enough charge, you can take them in and say they're not working well and they'll give you a new one.
For as long as you have AppleCare. So
yeah,
if you've got
3 years
AppleCare, that's great.
And I do that often.
So I think
we need to clarify this battery issue a little bit because there's a couple of things you need to know. The MacBook Pro battery is not recalled.
No.
It's being replaced because it was not up to spec. There's no danger. It's not on the recall list that you have to do it. It would
swell up like Merlin's hot dogs in the ring. It was like a ballpark Frank, right? Didn't it? No, I'm not kidding. They swole up.
Well, they said it was not being recalled because of
it didn't explode. It just swelled.
Yeah. Just so you know.
So I'm relieved now.
There's one that's a recall and there's one that's not.
Yeah, there's a PowerBook recall and an iBook recall. Nothing in the new, I don't think the MacBook or the MacBook Pro has.
And it's not even all the PowerBooks. Like mine isn't.
Well, you have to look up the serial number. In fact, I was disappointed because I was hoping I could return them all and get all fresh batteries.
Right.
Do you guys recondition your batteries? Just a total geek side road here.
I don't think it does anything, Merlin. Do you think?
Yeah, it's a rubber chicken thing, I think. I do it once a month. I run it all the way to the bottom, let it sit overnight, and then plug in it. Well, I don't know. It
works on camera batteries.
I run mine all the way to the bottom.
They say that these don't.
They say that there's no memory effect in lithium ion. In fact...
That's right.
In fact, there's no memory effect in nickel metal hydride. The only memory effect was NiCad, and even there... there's some evidence there was no memory effect there. That was a U.S. Air Force study that didn't really reflect real-life usage.
Now, one thing, though, is that if you leave your laptop plugged in all the time with your battery in it, it will shorten the life of the battery.
I believe that.
The thing about getting to 80% charge because of the fast charge, there's nothing to that. You're dispelling that.
That's supposedly the case. I have heard on good authority that it's a good idea to leave lithium ion if you're going to store them at half charge, not full charge. You're right. Rubber chicken. It's all voodoo. It doesn't have anything to do with reality.
But the one thing is, we have a lot of anecdotal evidence within this office specifically, a great deal of evidence that people who leave their computers plugged in all the time, their laptop batteries become almost useless.
I think my car runs better after I go to a car wash too. It's so hard to, unless you really test these things.
It's an availability heuristic. Yeah, you're just noticing it because you're noticing it.
I like that. What's it called? But
an availability heuristic.
The Swedish call it schema.
Okay.
Yeah, they say you can't learn anything from podcasts.
So S-S-S-C-H-E-M-A-S-K-I-M-A?
Well, I don't. My Swedish spelling isn't.
It's not
very
related to that clear beer stuff, is it? The Zima?
No, no. Okay. But Schema is one of those things. Like, if you want to buy a new Corvette, all of a sudden you see all new Corvettes around you. They've actually already been there.
Yeah.
You just
weren't
noticing them.
That's Schema or availability heuristics.
Yeah.
Wow. We have learned something here. Okay. So I just we've kind of jumped around a little bit around this announcement. I just want to clarify this. I think it's something big. I think it's at least a very cool iPod. I don't know if it's that super cool multi-user, multi-function, touchscreen iPod that everybody's been talking about. But I think you've got to see a new iPod. It's Christmas time. You've got to see a new iPod. And I think it's going to be something significant. Does anybody still believe in an iPod phone anywhere?
They got another patent.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you want to get in that market?
I want a Newton, so don't ask me.
I would buy an iPod phone. My daughter would buy an iPod phone.
I don't know. It's one of these Shangri-La things that seems to come up every few months. And it's coming right down the pike now, the iPod phone. I don't know. I mean, maybe so, but isn't that going to involve a lot of deals with all different companies?
And then it's not an
Apple. What services are going to support it? And you're, on some level, at least you're cannibalizing what's already a pretty fat market with these straight-up iPods.
Yeah, I don't – exactly. I think you said it. Perfectly.
I do have to say that I think there's a lot of people, a lot of Mac users at least, that would vastly prefer to have an Apple-based phone just because you know that it would sync with everything properly. I mean, I'm tired of my Trio picking up, like, my Trio keeps on stacking up everybody's phone number every time I try to sync it, you know, and there's almost nothing I seem to be able to do to get that.
Do you use Missing Sync?
I am using Missing Sync, and I still have all kinds of sync issues with it.
I have Windows Mobile 5, and the Missing Sync I think a lot of Mark Space. I think they do great stuff, but it just never has worked right with that Windows.
It doesn't work for me either. I got a Trio 650. I got Missing Sync, and technically they talk to each other, but I ended up with contacts for some guy I don't even know the other day.
Wow! So that's kind of neat.
It's running Windows.
It's syncing somewhere with somebody else's computer.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
I mean, this one guy's got a lot of girlfriends. I'll tell you that.
Now come on, that's what you told your wife, Scott. I don't think I have that.
I don't know who she is. No, that's not mine.
Well, who are all these women on here?
I can't understand that.
So
she doesn't know how to access any of that stuff, so I'm lucky.
Does she listen to podcasts?
No.
Good, you're safe.
No,
nor does my wife. Nor does she even watch my TV show.
Join the club.
Which explains why I was streaking.
My wife has so much more important things to do than listen to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that sad? Here we are. Now, Carlita, Alex's wife is a geek.
No, but she doesn't listen to me either.
why we love them. They're
get
sensitive.
This. I used to be a cartoon character on MSNBC. I was a cartoon character, and I couldn't get my kids to watch it. I mean, it's just hopeless.
No, she has no. She has to listen to me over and over and over again.
Last thing she wants to do is watch on TV. Okay. So should I buy? As long as I'm spending my money, the iMac 24, which looks pretty slick. I mean, you've got a Core 2 in it, which is a very, very nice chip, even faster than the Core Duo they were touting just a few months ago. A 24-inch screen, which is kind of amazing on an iMac. It's all in one. I mean, a nice graphics card. Or should I say, no, I'm going to get a Mac Pro.
Mac Pro.
Why?
It just depends on it. Well, actually, Leo, I think for you, I actually would be leaning towards saying that you'd get the iMac.
Why? Why?
What you need is the reason you buy a MacBook. I mean, they really are setting it up where unless you're really doing
high-end stuff,
you need to extend the computer. That's the big thing is if you're going to extend it. So a lot of people that I know buy a G5 or buy a Mac Pro.
Does anybody really upgrade? I mean, I have a G5 tower here. You do. What do you upgrade?
Well, we have big video card. We have video capture cards for MacBook, for instance, that capture HD.
So you need to put in special cards, fiber channel cards, things like that.
Yeah, we have. I mean, the video card we have a 4500 in our the NVIDIA 4500, which I think is like $1,500 just for the video card. So it's.
I hear it's funny because PC users say the same thing. They say, "Oh, you can't upgrade it. I'm not going to buy a mini or an iMac. You can't upgrade it." No, and I would say 90% of users don't ever upgrade their hardware. They just buy new hardware.
Absolutely. And so for 90% of the people, everything from the iMac 24 inches is what they're going to need. I mean, you can do Shake work, Final Cut Pro work.
Impressive.
You can do, it's a very, very fast machine, a very impressive machine on its own.
How about Scott? Now, Scott, why did you say I should not buy one?
Because if you look at the cache and the bus and the graphics card, if you ever wanted to do something as simple as run Aperture, for instance, you would not be at all satisfied with the performance. Yeah.
Really?
I know this for a fact because I looked at the graphics card and I know what kind of experience people are having with that graphics card.
It's a GeForce 7300 GT.
Remember that the programs like Aperture and all of the programs coming down the pike from the Pro Division anyway are going to rely heavily on the GPU, not the CPU.
Right.
If you can't put in a beefy graphics card, you're going to be unhappy. Plus, take a look.
What's the minimum graphics card you'd recommend?
The 1900 for Aperture.
That's what I put in my fantasy order that's sitting in my Apple account for my Mac.
Yeah, you want to have that card, and they're just now starting to ship those. Also, take a look at the cache. That's where you're going to see a big difference in throughput. Now, if all you're ever going to do is use Safari and send email and all that, Alex is absolutely right. But you're Leo Laporte. You got to be a power user, dude.
Even if I never use it, I got to be one. It's got four megabytes of shared L2 cache. It's for a dual processor system. That's a lot.
The thing I don't understand, I mean, and I'm coming at this from a completely different point of view, but I'm trying to understand for most of the people I know, you know, the MacBook straight out of the box has way more processing power and more everything than they're ever going to need for 90% of what they do. And certainly, obviously, people like Alex are going to need something that's got a lot of firepower to it. But
I love my MacBook. I have to say I've been very happy with it. And it runs Parallels great. It runs, I mean, I run Windows at, it seems like, full speed. I run chess programs on it. It's great.
I run Softimage's XSI on it, I mean, on the Windows side. And it's... I mean, it's a big 3D application. I'm running it fine on my little MacBook.
So a lot of what people buy is for bragging rights, not really because they need it. Is that what you're saying, Merlin?
Well, I think maybe so. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting about the 24-inch is, I mean, of course, I come at this from this kind of productivity standpoint, and there's so much research out there to talk about how much more effective you can be just moment to moment having a lot of screen real estate. So you're not changing modes, you're not changing applications. And so I think it's interesting to think about, you know, how you could have, you know, there's something to compete with the relatively small screen space of a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. And then that's why I think this is an interesting move to bring out this large screen, because to me, that's what most people are saying is, gosh, I just wish I had a big screen and I don't want to spend a lot of money to go get the big cinema.
That's why I bought the 30-inch, because the truth is, I'm juggling Windows constantly. It's just driving me crazy.
Yeah,
and I have a two screen setup. I have a 23-inch cinema display and a PC display next to it. And it's still not enough. I need more room.
Yeah, I got a Dell, whatever the second biggest
one. The 24? Yeah, those are nice. Those are really nice.
Yeah, and the price isn't too bad. And it's, I mean, the thing is that the jump that you see, I hate to use the word productivity to describe this, but you can just get so much done so much faster. And you can put your IM over in the screen of your PowerBook or your MacBook. And yeah, no, I just think that to me, that's an interesting move. And actually, Scott, I was curious about one thing you talked about, I think it was last week on the show, where you were talking about just kind of the limitations of some of the software that people were depending on to run on Mac Pro. Are on the big Mac Pros,
the thing is that while these things do have a lot of power, there isn't a lot of software written today that will take advantage of it. But for me, and it's, you know, once again, everybody comes at this from their own perspective, as an Aperture user, as a guy that uses Pro Tools with like 99 plugins all the time, I need as much RAM as I can get, and I need as much firepower as I can get. And those applications will talk to the stuff that's going on at the Mac Pro. What's particularly interesting is the amount of addressable RAM these new machines will have in them. That's awfully important to somebody that's doing stuff like I'm doing or like Alex is doing. And I do think it's going to be a while before most of the applications catch up to the real power of these things. But you know how programmers are. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, everybody's got 8 gigs of RAM now. And if you don't have 8 gigs of RAM, you're going to have trouble running Word in about 3 years.
Yeah. And I will say the one thing that I specifically use on my G5, actually, not the Mac Pro yet, but is Aperture. You know, of all the applications that I use, if you're using that, I mean,
Can I sound like an idiot? Isn't Aperture dead? Didn't they fire the team? Isn't Lightroom just going to kill Aperture?
Quit it.
I know you wrote a book and everything, Scott, and you're running the website, but come on.
Well, first of all, they did not fire the team. Let's get that straight.
Who did they fire?
They didn't fire anybody.
They didn't fire anybody.
They took guys out of the Final Cut group. They borrowed them. They did some stuff
for
the Aperture.
So they reassigned the Aperture.
They just put them back where they got them.
So who's writing Aperture?
They brought in a new development team.
Okay. Well, the so they didn't fire them.
from my understanding is that the team that is currently working on a lot of the stuff is the guys, some of the motion guys and shake guys and stuff like that
But isn't Lightroom really a better app?
No, it's a dog.
Okay, good. I wanted to hear you say that.
Now I want to say in Lightroom's defense, it's getting better and better, and it's still in beta, and I haven't been privileged to see beta 4, but my friend Derek Story has it. He said it's really good. And I suspect that Lightroom is going to be a good application, but it is simply, if you use Aperture and you use Lightroom in its present configuration, use them side by side, you just run back to Aperture. Okay. And I'll tell you how
it's
much...
It's not buggy, though. People say it's buggy. Aperture.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but it's really not. It's just they don't know how to use it because they try to treat it like Photoshop, and it's not going to act like Photoshop because it's not Photoshop. And if you pay attention in about a month or so, Leo, you're going to find out how not dead it is because we're going to see version 1.5 or 2.0.
Well, and that's the other thing that may be announced on Tuesday. There's certainly some buzz that maybe CS3 will come out way early and we'll see an Intel Photoshop. Any credence to that?
I'd be surprised.
Most of the rumors. I'd be really surprised.
I mean, it may happen, but the rumors are the trajectory for CS3 is March. I mean, those are pretty strong rumors.
Okay, I don't know where I saw this. Then maybe I'm mistaken.
If they could speed it up, those could be inaccurate rumors. But that's the
you never
they
know. Did,
you know, they Photoshop world's going on right now, and if
that's
they
where you'd announce
do,
it, yeah,
yeah, that's where you'd announce. All they did was show Lightroom 4. That was their big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, so
the Mini is updated too. No more Core Solo in any form at all on the Mac, which is good because I think they were about one of the three companies selling Core Solos. Nobody wants a Core Solo. Core Duo's not any more expensive. Why not?
And when you look at the value, I mean, a little Mini now is pretty.
I have a Core Duo Mini. I'm very happy with. You know, after saying I want a Mac Pro, you know, I'm not so unhappy with the Mini, to be honest with you. Well, it was replaced. You know what it replaced? It replaced the Cube. So,
oh my gosh.
It was a lot faster.
I love the Cube.
I keep that in a beanbag chair.
Yeah, I got that and my Hendrix posters, and I got a little room I'm making. It's got an orange shag carpet. It's
listen
beautiful.
To your Steely Dan tracks.
I'm so happy. Parallels updated. Finally works with the Mac Pro, and now Parallels is using the built-in Intel VT hardware, which means, I understand, that you're going to get performance... You know, almost identical to that of what you'd get in boot camp. In other words, full hardware performance out of Parallels.
Is there full support for the graphics cards now within Parallels?
That I don't know. I haven't actually downloaded
it. That's been the issue. And
it does support the eyesight. Oh, no, boot camp supports the eyesight, so that's good news. I think that's just, you know, all of this stuff is driver issues, right? So I would imagine, I mean, I haven't tried the new Parallels, but I'd imagine that would be part of the deal.
Because that's what I've been going back and forth.
I love
still boot camping. And,
I mean, but again, you have different needs. Certainly, if you have to get all the power out of your hardware, boot camp's probably it. But they're getting closer and closer. And, of course, VMware is doing a version for the Mac, too. And I just, to me, man, that is a... And you, if we're even looking at call for help. We're looking at buying a Mac Pro and running all our Windows software on the Pro in virtualization. It just makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I think that's going to be the as this really starts to stabilize, when you're really able to use Windows in that type of environment, you know, it's just really hard to justify why you would buy a, you know, something other than.
Well, there's a Dell hardware. That looks pretty nice. There's a Dell. The new Dell XPS 700 is a very slick looking machine. I mean,
it's a slick looking machine, but you're still limiting yourself if you want.
Well, I can't run a Mac on it.
Well, yeah, and no one's going to argue that. I mean, people will argue, but they're wrong if they start saying that you can do the same audio, you know, the stuff you can have any kind of match to iMovie, iDVD.
No, I agree. Windows is not good for that kind of content creation. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so you want a little bit of both. I mean, you know, you
but
might
there are things. For instance, you know, we're recording this. I hate to admit it, on Adobe Audition on a Windows machine. I am anyway. I don't know what you're recording it on, but to me, there are still some applications that run best on the Windows, including most games.
Right.
In fact, Dell. That's what Dell's looking at. They're saying the games market. Michael Dell just talking at the gaming conference in Austin said that games are going to be the biggest business of all. He's pushing Dell in that direction, and he's smart because that's the one advantage now Windows has.
Well, that's what it has. But the thing is you get that advantage when you buy Apple hardware.
You know, I don't know if you're a gamer that you would buy a Mac and boot to run boot camp to run games. I just that's
right.
I don't know if a gamer's going to go that way. Well,
if you're only a gamer.
Frankly, a lot of the reason people still buy PCs in the home anyway is for gaming, not in business, but in the home is for gaming.
Right.
One more story about the MacBook. Apple admits it. Yes, there are some shutdown problems, and if you're having them, you should call the genius. It's true. So it's a faulty heat sink.
And I actually know two people that are already having that problem.
I feel so lucky.
Shutting off.
So yeah. Scott, you've had no problems with your MacBook.
Well, no, I have a Mac Pro.
Oh, you have a Pro. I have a book.
I bought the MacBook Pro when it first came out, and I've never had the whine or the moo or anything was supposed to have happened to that.
Nothing.
But I do know some people had trouble with the MacBook. But we talked about while you were gone, Leo, one very interesting statistic. Even with all the reported problems, it appears that Apple cannot supply enough computers to meet the demand for that thing.
Well, that's good news, I guess. Although if half of them come back as a discolored wrist rests, both Amber MacArthur and Sean Carruthers at Call for Help bought white MacBooks, and they're discolored. I mean, within a month. Noticeable yellowing on the trackpad and on the wrist pad, and I'd tell you I'd be pissed.
Do they eat
the rich Canadian food?
You know, poutine and MacBooks do not go together, folks. Please step away from the curds, and I don't mean the Iraqi curds. I mean the curds and whey curds. Have you ever had poutine, Merlin? You've had poutine.
No, I. When we were in Vancouver, we went to some kind of a very odd Indian native restaurant.
Curry's bad for your MacBook too.
No, no, not that kind of the native Canadians.
They call them First Americans.
Yeah, and it was a lot of I think
First
it was,
Nation. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. Exactly with the big totem poles and whatnot. So now,
I'm sorry.
That's for Alex.
That's for Alex. I had to translate.
It's not possible.
All of a sudden, we're Don Rickles. You're going to Hey, you got the guy from Zimbabwe over here.
Hey, put your hand between your hand and clap. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You had native First Nation food.
No.
And it was good.
I just wanted to go on record as saying I have a MacBook Pro, and I've recently gotten the whining and a little bit of the clanging, and it sounds like there might be a very scary
one clanging. I never heard
of
clanging.
It's kind of like if there was some kind of a very tiny little Dutch windmill in there, and it was
San
maybe
Francisco treat.
You can imagine the little with the little shoes. Does it have the little shoes?
Cling, there's cling. A little cloppy. Yeah, you know, actually, Alex, there's a little cloppy sound too. So
yeah, there you go.
But you know, it kind of keeps me company. So
what's the mooing sound like? I've never heard it. Does it really sound like a moo?
I've never heard it either.
Moo. You know, the thing is, okay, well, on a completely separate note, I've had this crazy thing happen with my keychain lately where security D and kernel tasks just go through the roof, and I can hear this thing just where it's grabbing about 1.7 gigs of RAM for each of those processes.
Wow.
Of virtual RAM. And
That'll slow things down.
Yeah, you know, this thing's slow. Quicksilver is not as responsive when there's like negative RAM available. Yeah. So, no, but it was interesting because I started to hear what people were talking about with some of these heating up issues and the noise issues because you can definitely hear it.
In your case, though, it also sounds like a software issue. And I think that a lot of this stuff is actually software issues.
Yeah, actually, I've been holding off, hoping against hope that 10.4.8 will be coming out pretty soon with some fixes. Yeah, there's a lot of little weird. Once you start spending some time on the forums over on the Apple boards, you start realizing there's a lot of voodoo going on between releases that people are waiting for.
Yeah. Anybody? Everybody's applied the what is it? The SMC SE? What do they call it? The update? The firmware update that fixed the fan? That seems to didn't bother me. Yeah. But I wasn't having any mooing.
Tell me about this mooing.
That's what they call it, but I don't know what it sounds like. It's some sort of whine or moo. You've got a clang. I don't think a clang could be called a moo.
No, like a metallic windmill. Yeah.
Yeah, my only issue has been, I swap batteries a lot because I have a lot of extra batteries. And the biggest problem I've had with my G4, if I just close it and put it to sleep, I can just swap the battery. And with my MacBook Pro, if I do the same thing, it just turns off.
So did you tell Virgin when you got on with your forbidden MacBook that you also have 8 lithium-ion batteries in your bag?
I was only carrying 3 extras. So
3? I mean, you could have blown the whole thing out of this car.
I could have. I was practically a walking terrorist by myself.
Oh, my God.
And I had toothpaste.
No.
I did. I did. I forgot about it.
We're just lucky you're with us today.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, you could be in Gitmo right now. We'd say we don't know what happened to Alex. He disappeared 3 years ago, and
he's not telling you the whole story, Leo. I had to go bail him out.
And I was carrying tea from Zimbabwe, which is technically against the, you know.
Yeah, it's agricultural products.
Yeah, but it's really good tea.
I had no idea you were so antisocial.
He's like, really an awful person. I'll tell you what, I have Cory Doctorow hands out a metal Bill of Rights card that you're supposed to carry with you through the metal detector. When it goes off and they search you and they find the metal Bill of Rights, you're supposed to say, oh, yeah, the Bill of Rights. Perhaps you've heard of it.
Yeah, because based on a lot of the people I meet that work for TSA, they have a very elevated sense of humor. I think that would really, yeah.
I find them just jolly, jolly folk. So we will be doing live coverage, live, semi-live, I don't know, late. We might get it out next week, the week after, you know, coverage of the Showtime event. Actually, I'll be there. And what am I supposed to do, Alex? Run over to the set and record.
No. We'll just shoot. We're going to shoot it on the set there. I mean, we'll shoot around it. We're just going to go ahead with the DVD.
So whatever is announced, we will have a coverage, instantaneous coverage that will be up on the site that day.
Yeah, we'll.
It has to be.
We have editors standing by. We have everybody ready to go.
Well, I'm not going to edit this. Every single bit of this is going on the air, and I'm going to get it to you right now so we can put it right up on the site. So this news will be hot, and nobody can mock our prognostications.
We're ready.
All right. Merlin Mann, 43folders.com. I love you, Merlin Mann. I love you. I love your folders. I love your text expander. I love Dynomatic.
Dynomatic has changed my life.
Tell me about Dynomatic.
Well, you know, I posted this on 43 Folders just the other day. I don't have a whole lot of use for dashboard.
I use the Confabulator. I like the Confabulator.
But even, I mean, just this is just one data point. It's never really done it for me. But I had a business use. I really wanted to find some way to pick a random restaurant so my wife and I didn't just stand around and stare at each other all night until we starved to death. And so this lets you enter in a bunch of local restaurants in your neighborhood and what kind of cuisine they are. And you spin the little wheel around and it spits out the restaurant that you're going to go to. And it's totally fun and it works great. And if you work someplace where you're always going out to eat, you'll never have to argue about the stuff again. And if I can get it to come up.
When somebody writes,
it sounds like this. Can you hear that at all? I don't know if you can hear that.
I hear some Dutch people.
Yeah.
I actually hear some yodeling.
No, they're holding back the dike. But it's a lot of fun.
Here it is. I'm doing it right now.
Got it?
There's the... Oh, it's like a slot machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fun. You guys can't hear it, but the audience can. It's like you put a quarter in and then it goes chick, 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 chick. That's what you're hearing. That's the Dutch windmill sound.
I can hear it.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Leo. I love you, too.
This whole time, it's Dynomatic. When somebody writes the history of the decline and fall of the American people, Dynomatic will figure large, I think, in the first signs of the end.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
What?
About a plate. I mean, look, you just came back from Zimbabwe, Alex. Is this an issue in Zimbabwe? Like, oh, gosh, so many restaurants. I can't think of which one to go to. Maybe I'll use a dashboard widget on my $2,000 computer to tell me what restaurant to go to.
Said the guy who can't decide if he needs a MacBook on top of his, my
like
God,
a guy just
14?
Want a 30-inch display, a display bigger than the home of most of the Zimbabweans.
Leo, this is what...
Mostly we're worried about whether the electricity will be on when we get to the restaurant.
This is what my friend Erica at Mule Design calls a first-world problem.
It is a first-world problem.
You can't decide which portion restaurant to go to. I'm hungry.
I don't know what to eat.
You have to rely on chance in order to decide where you're going to have lunch. You've got the right kind of problem.
I do have to admit when you come back after spending a couple weeks in Africa, you tend to come back and it is very hard to listen to people complain.
It's a different world. But fortunately, we live in this one. So too bad. Does that sound callous and cold to me?
Yeah, well, it was a little callous and cold.
It's a little callous and cold.
Maybe talk in that funny voice again.
Yeah. Which funny voice? I can't tell which one you're talking.
Just notice the postmark for all the letters, where all the letters are coming
just
from.
Yeah, just send your mail to Alex at pixelcore.com.
You're so fired.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Bourne can be found online everywhere. Of course, the iLife Zone, pretty much everywhere. The iLife Zone is a great place to start. Any other site you'd like to plug, Scott? Your Aperture site? Or?
You know, Aperture Tricks is doing well, but, you know, probably my favorite site to hang out on lately has been the podcastingtricks.com. I've been
Oh, that's new. I haven't heard about that. That's great.
Yeah, we're doing you know, about 20,000 unique IPs a day, having a lot of fun.
So everything you'd ever want to know about making a program as exciting and thrilling as this would be there.
Well, we're going to use this one sort of as an example of what not to
okay,
do.
Okay, good. But, good stuff. You know,
I'm just glad I could help.
All right. And Alex Lindsay, pixelcore.com. Alex, of course, is the evil genius behind all of this. There would be no back break. So please do write to him, because it's not my fault. It really isn't. Let's have one last spin of the Dynomatic before we go, because, guys, I think it's time for Merlin to buy dinner.
Okay.
Okay.
We're out of here. We need a tagline. You know, I can't say another Mac Break Weekly is in the can. It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't.
So long, suckers.
You bought a Mac, and so long.
Yeah.
I just came up with the one for the iLive Zone after 8 shows.
And what's that for the iLive Zone? I haven't heard it yet.
Don't get caught without a little zone.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. What are we going to say? Mac Break Weekly. It's an easier way to choose where you're going to eat than Dynomatic.
How about MBW? We ain't got no moo.
How about Mac Break Weekly? We'll put it up when we're good and ready.
And on that note, good night, everyone.